لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب، وقال تعالى: وكلا نقص عليك من أنباء الرسل ما نثبت به فؤادك، وقال تعالى: فاصبر كما صبر أولو العزم من الرسل ولا تستعجل لهم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. الحمد لله ولحق الله سبحانه وتعالى. It is nice to see so many young children. I can tell it's probably the holiday season that has started. And may Allah SWT bless the parents, especially parents, grandparents, uncles, whoever they may be, to bring their wonderful young children. You know, I just hope we had a nice corner for them where all of them could have been together, meet one another, become friends with one another. And inshallah, it's something we should work towards, because just as the older folks have a community, the younger ones, for the most part, are quite scattered, in the sense that they are living somewhere, let's say, for example, in Cottonwood, and because they're in Cottonwood, they go to a certain school, and only their friends are in that area. And if you can have groups where they can all meet, inshallah, it'll be a very, very positive thing. Last week, we ended off with, of course, a speech in the Haram, and this week, we have a different one by Sheikh Saleh Talib, may Allah bless him. Last week we ended up with قُلْ إِنْ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Wherein Allah SWT is telling to the Prophet ﷺ that say that verily, O Muhammad ﷺ, tell to the people إِنَّ صَلَاتِي, that verily my salah, verily my worship, every act of worship that I'm taking part in, my every deed that I'm taking part in, inna salati wa nusuki, every aspect of my sacrifice. That means whether it's going to be the sacrifice of the animal that will take place, inshallah, not too long from now, whether it's the extra sacrifice of getting up for salah in the morning, is the extra sacrifice of leaving work early and coming here to fulfill our obligations to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you can see, it's not about just the act itself of salah or sacrifice, but verily every salah of mine, every worship of mine, every nusuki, every sacrifice and challenge of mine, wa mahyaya wa mamati, my existence, my everyday awoken state, my existing state, even when I go to sleep, what do I read? How do I turn my sleep into an ibadah? You know, the other morning we did a hadith, especially a man that reads the Isha Salah with Jama'ah and Fajr Salah with Jama'ah, it's as if that individual is getting an entire night of reward. Now the woman will say, what about us? Well, of course you too, if you're performing your Isha and Fajr and you are telling your beloved children, your nephews, your spouses, you know, my darling, my wonderful spouse, at least perform your Isha Salah with Jama'ah and Fajr Salah with Jama'ah. And after performing your Isha Salah with Jama'ah, you come to me as your wife. You take part in whatever halal you need to take part in. And thereafter, you cleanse yourself, go to sleep, and read the Fajr Salah. Even though you took part in an act that fulfill yourself, oh my beloved husband, it'll be as if you were in the entire night in ibadah. That's what it means. Wa mahyaya, my existence, my living state, as well as my stage of death. What is it going to be our stage of death? We don't know. But one thing we do know, assuming we died this afternoon, may Allah give us all a long life, but at least we can say, oh Allah, I went to the Jummah Salah. Oh Allah, I met my fellow Muslim brothers and sisters with a smile. Oh Allah, the parking lot got a little bit busy, but I did not keep on honking and trying to just get people out of the way. I had patience. It was hot. I had patience. Oh Allah, I may have not brought 50 years of worth of reward, but at least on my last day of my existence, I know that I took pride in doing such and such good. That's what it means. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati. My life
as well as my death. Lillah. That lamb is for extra emphasis, is absolutely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we will get caught up in doing things for ourselves. And this ayah is saying, you've got to keep on getting yourself back on track. You know, that alignment, it'll go off here and there. That's why you take your car to have it, of course, realigned. That's not part of the speech, but you get what I'm saying. So, wa mahyaya wa mamati lillah. Everything has to come back strictly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Lillahi rabbil alameen. Because at the end of the day, He is the Allah of the entire universe. He's not limited in any sense. He is beyond. And anything that is so beyond our comprehension ought to be definitely worshipped. In today's part, as it says here, the best speech is the Kitabullah. And the best guidance we can gather is guidance from our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And one of the most evil things we can take part in is holding on to innovations, things that we have brought into the deen. For example, for some it may be a certain thing that they will wear on their head in a certain manner, and it has to be a certain manner, a certain exact type of hat, because it represents their given culture, whatever it is, because we have to show to people, you know, I'm not from that village, I'm from this village, and of course I belong to this certain silsila, therefore I wear a black hat or a green hat. And we are wearing a black hat is not a problem, wearing a white hat is not a problem, wearing a green hat is not a problem, but we don't do it for the sake of wearing it. We wear it because we are trying to show something that is beyond the Sunnah of Rasulullah. So my point here is, it's not only people that are not part of deen that make these mistakes, even people that are soaked in deen, they have to show that now I'm affiliated with a certain group, and they hold on to that certain group more than what Allah wants them to hold upon. Allah wants us to hold upon deen, upon the Quran, upon the Kitab Allah, upon the Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and thereafter the people that hold on to the Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, etc., etc. So we get caught up on the secondary layer and not the primary layer, and that is why we have these problems. So the Shaykh says, all these innovations and bid'at, whatever they may be, we have to re-evaluate why we are doing what we're doing and get ourselves back on track. And thereafter he says, the best advice is indeed that of taqwa, that of observing the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes for us to do. Ya bani Adam, imma ya'tiyannakum rusulun minkum yaqussuna alaykum ayati. O children of Adam, prophets have come for a various reason, and many prophets have come for different communities, but the reason generally has been one, to worship Allah and help the people hold themselves towards understanding what Allah wants them to go towards. يَقُصُّونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ. And they will, from this ayah and the other ayah, they will give you stories, they will share ideas to you, and they will make mention of our various signs. So the signs may be regarding the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The signs may be regarding the mountains, regarding the oceans, regarding the rivers. There be various signs. In one case, it was the camel and how massive the camel was and the unique aspect of that given camel. For some, it may be the story of Nuh alayhi salam and how Nuh alayhi salam was able to take a pair of everything on the ship and give safety and refuge to those that wanted to do good things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all these various signs that I mentioned, فَمَنِ اتَّقَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. It is for the individual that has the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within them, that will be able to take benefit from these various stories. فَمَنِ اتَّقَى, that means the one that fears Allah will be able to take benefit, and وَأَصْلَحَ, and the one that is able to reform themselves will be able to take benefit. Now many of us, you know, there are these programs that we have, mashallah, and I've seen these programs pretty much everywhere in the world. They have islah programs. Islah programs are like this. You have a sheikh and you go to the sheikh and you tell the sheikh, I'll be the best person ever. And the sheikh will say, now you are part of my islah program, mashallah. And thereafter you begin to think, and many people join these programs for many different reasons. I asked one fellow, why did you join? He looked at me and says, he held his ears. He says, yeah, sheikh, let me tell you something. I'm losing money. So if I get a sheikh, inshallah, he'll make dua for me, so I get money. Look at it. He's joining the islah program, not to reform himself, but so he can get special du'as from the sheikh, so his business can start to become lucrative. So people join these programs for different reasons. And the Quran is saying, look at the words, فَمَنِ اتَّقَى وَأَصْلَحَ. You first have to have the fear and the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only when you have the Kitabullah and the Sunnah at your disposal and holding on to the Sunnah in the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes for you to hold on to, and wa aslaha, and you start reforming yourself in line of the Kitabullah and the Sunnah, then you'll be able to attain true islah, true reformation. So how do you know now you are being reformed and you have taqwa? And the sheikh makes a very beautiful point. He says, the way in which you know you have taqwa and reformation is that you begin to see a change in your life. That is why after Ramadan, the sheikh makes mention in a different speech, as I say, from here on, we're going to keep our talks exactly regarding a certain pattern, because this way shaitan plays less games with the listener, and the listener doesn't think, well, does he know something about my private life, and therefore he's making mention. All that, inshallah, will be coming to an end, I hope, in your mind. But of course, if shaitan wishes to control, then that is something beyond our control. Therefore, we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Oh Allah, let shaitan not take momentum over us. So one way we know in which we have reformed ourselves, for example, regarding the Ramadan, we know we took part in the fast, we know we performed the salah, we know that we believe the importance of given aspects of salah. At the same time, we have to ask, has our life changed after the month of Ramadan? And is our life change in line with the change that has taken place in the month of Ramadan? So if there is an inconsistency in those things, then we are now falling back into the habit of going back to our old ways. And again, we have to hold ourselves accountable by saying, do I really now have taqwa? And do I really have this true reformation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended for me, in as far as what was intended as a result of the month of Ramadan? لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصٍ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all these stories that we mentioned to you in the Quran, and there is a story that's going to be mentioned later by the Sheikh, I don't know if you have time for that. He says, as far as all these various lessons that we mentioned in the Quran, they are lessons for people of لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, for people of understanding. For people of understanding. It's not just, see, in English language, we'll use words like intelligence. And intelligence you can have. Just because you're intelligent doesn't mean you have understanding. And because you have understanding doesn't necessarily mean you are intelligent. But from the Islamic point of view, the one that uses the understanding in the way in which Allah wishes, they are considered intelligent in nature. So all these stories that are mentioned in the Quran, they are a lesson for people of understanding, because as it says here, the Quran is not a fabricated system. It's not a fabricated statement, but rather a confirmation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existing kitab, and a detailed explanation of everything, and a guide and a mercy for the people who believe. There's so many things that I mentioned here. It is first of all a confirmation, and it is not a book that has inconsistencies within itself, nor is it a book that is inconsistent with other books that have been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a detailed explanation. And the young ones of here will make statements like, well, does it really say exactly how I must dress? Does it really say how I must really do X, Y, and Z? Obviously it is. Not in its most literal form. But the Quran says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولَهِ. So the answer is not in the Quran directly. Then the answer is in وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولَهِ. It is in regarding the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So there is no discrepancy or inconsistency regarding this given phrase, where everything is found in the Quran, because obedience of the Prophet is found in the Quran sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore we have to look into the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as to how we got to present ourselves in everyday, whether it's business, social relations, etc. And thereafter it says, towards the end, as I say, it is a guide and it's a mercy for people that believe. So if you want mercy, then it comes with, obviously, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from us, from the Quran. Simple. It's not very much more complicated than that. وَكُلَّنْ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ رُسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. And all that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and all that we relate to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding the other messengers, is in order to مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. The story of other prophets, the lifestyle of other individuals, is not done to torment us. Oh, look at how so-and-so got destroyed. Oh, don't, you know, nowadays there is a psychologist, he talks about the godly complex of modern day men. What's the godly complex? Anyone knows here basketball? Man, Kobe Bryant, he's the man. And the way he presents himself, I'm not saying he's not a man. I'm not saying he's a man because he is a man. Nothing to do with that, but you get what I'm saying. So the point here is, the way in which he carries himself is like a godly complex. Nobody can mess with me. And you look at the generation, the young ones, they are also becoming that way. I'm hot. I'm powerful. Nobody can mess with me. I'm the best there ever was. Yes, you're comparing yourself with your great-grandfather that lived in a village, God knows where. And obviously you're going to feel that way. But guess what? Your great-grandfather had better health than you. He wasn't sitting on the computer and gaining weight and losing his hand-eye combination or coordination just by playing video games, who didn't have a good communication style. In fact, I just took a class. They say this current generation can hardly even effectively make a good sentence. How come? In fact, you ask teachers regarding papers that they got from the students. Instead of the word and, A-N-D, they just put N over there. And you name it, you know, some of the grammatical mistakes they make, even research papers that they hand in. One teacher was showing a professor, the kid actually put in parentheses LOL. Imagine on a research paper, he puts in LOL. So before we continue in thinking that this godly complex is something that is a marvel, the Quran is saying this godly complex existed long before you and I came. And what is Allah saying in the stories? That this godly complex, others also had it. Other nations, Allah said, مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. I'm making mention to you all these stories about other people that thought they were greater than what they were. Not to degrade them, not to talk ill of them, not to show you how superior you are, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how superior your people are. But I'm making mention of it to you. So that way, مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. So you can become firm, your heart can become firm regarding the pathway you have chosen. Inshallah, with this we will stop right now. And next week we'll continue with what the Honorable Shaykh has said. So my dear respected Muslim brothers in Islam, sisters in Islam, we started off with إِنَّ صَلَاتِ قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِ. Let's follow this ayah where the Prophet ﷺ is saying, and Allah is telling him to tell us, that make my salah, inna salati wa nusuki, make my salah, make my sacrifice. Now how do we make our salah and sacrifice, our living and death, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We have to ask ourselves, how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pray? How, what clothing did he wear? How did he present himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we cannot do it because we are working, I understand, but at least in the privacy of our homes, we should be able to do it. Inna salati, what salah did he perform? How did he read the tahajjud salah? How did he read the salatul duha? Whatever it may be. We have to link. Inna salati wa nusuki, how did he sacrifice? What sacrifice did he make? How did he give his wealth in the path of Allah? How did he help the poor? How did he help the needy? How did he do business? What did he sell in his business? What products did he sell in his business? How did he deal with the customers? How did he deal with creditors? How did he deal with people that he took a loan from? How did he pay back those given loans? We know these stories. That's what it refers to. Wa nusuki, sacrifices. Wa mahyaya wa mamati, life and death. And thereafter we made mention regarding various aspects of the Quran and the various stories that Allah makes mention. And all these stories are mentioned for one thing. As it says in the beginning, لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ is mentioned for those individuals that are not necessarily high in their IQ, but rather they are high in wanting to understand, follow, grasp, practice, and share that knowledge with others. May Allah help us in this regard. وَآخُرْ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. People are asking about Qurbani shares and stuff. Inshallah, we'll be starting with that next week. It'll be